Well, God bless you today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God is a good God, and He's worthy to be praised. I am Augustus T. Curry, so happy to share with you on this Lord's Day. I'm so grateful to Pastor Jonathan E. Ford of the Taylor Tabernacle Church of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and for allowing me to share with them at this time. I was invited to preach there, of course, in person, and due to the coronavirus, Pastor Ford has been so gracious to allow me to share with them this morning by way of the internet, and so I thank him for this virtual opportunity to share the word with the Taylor Tabernacle family, as well as our Cornerstone family and friends. What a joy and honor again it is to share with Taylor Tabernacle. I think so much of Pastor Ford, the phenomenal and wonderful job he's done there, giving leadership to that great people. I was blessed to have had the privilege of meeting his mother, who's now gone on to glory, the matriarch, Lucille R. Ford. Then also had the privilege, of course, of meeting his father, a wonderful gentleman, Bishop James Ford, just a wonderful family. How we thank God for them. I thank God for my brother in love, Minister John Cureton, Jr., who serves there with Pastor Ford, and for his wife Keisha, their family. What a joy and what a blessing that church has meant to them. Thank you, Pastor Ford, for wonderful leadership. You have proven in a remarkable way that you don't have to necessarily have a mega ministry, a mega church, I should say, in order to engage in mega ministry. You've just done an awesome job, and we thank the Lord for you. Let me get to my assignment today. And again, thank you for the opportunity to share. I want to invite your attention to the Old Testament record, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. I want to read just a couple of verses into your hearing, but I invite you to keep your Bible open. Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. That's enough right there. That's what I want to talk about for these next few minutes that are ours together to share. I want to talk about keys to the next level. God bless you. Thank you. Keys to the next level. Some time ago, I was in Texas for one of our National Baptist Convention, USA Incorporated annual sessions. I was there for the week, about midweek, about that Wednesday of that week. I ran into a wonderful pastor there, and we grew up together. He grew up in the church my father pastored, Dr. L.K. Curry in Chicago, the Emmanuel Baptist Church, and this young man pastors there now in Texas. We were so happy to see one another. We had not seen each other for some time. He said, listen, you've got to stay over and preach for me this Sunday. I said, wow, man, I would be honored to do that, but unfortunately I'm scheduled to check out of my hotel this coming Saturday morning, and I've got a flight scheduled back to Atlanta. He said, listen, you just got to preach for me. You can't come all the way to Texas and not preach. I really want my people to hear you. I said, listen, I really would be honored. I'm flattered. But if I was not already scheduled to check out and catch a flight, I would do it. He said, well, let me work on something and get back with you. I said, okay, that'll be fine. By that evening, I got back to my hotel. It was a break between sessions for the day. I get back to my hotel. I get into my hotel room, and I notice that there's a light flashing on the phone in my room, indicating there's a message for me at the front desk. So I call the front desk, He said, Dr. Perry? I said, yes. He said, we just have a couple of messages for you here. One moment. They come back on the phone. They said, listen, you were scheduled to check out of this hotel Saturday morning. I said, yes, that's correct. They said, well, we wanted to let you know someone has come by and made provisions for you, and your stay has been extended. I said, wow, okay, great. They said, well, wait a minute, there's one more message here. They said, there's an airline ticket here. You were scheduled to catch a flight on Saturday afternoon. There's another ticket here for a flight to go out Monday afternoon. I said, wow, okay, that's really, this is getting better and better. They said, well, wait a minute, we see one more message here. I said, wow, what's that message? They said, okay, listen, not only has your stay at this hotel been extended, but it's also been upgraded. I said, really now? I said, well, upgraded to what? They said, well, we're moving you from the third floor to a suite on the top floor. I said, all right. I said, well, what do I need to do? And they said, listen, you don't need to move your bags. We'll move your bags for you. They said, simply, tomorrow morning, come to the front desk and pick up your new keys. I said, cool. All right. So next morning, I'm walking briskly to the front desk, and I tell them who I am. They said, Dr. Perry, we've been waiting on you. Here are your keys to your suite on the top level. I get the keys, put it in my inside coat pocket where I keep my hotel key, and I strut it to the elevator. When I get to the elevator, there's another gentleman getting on in front of me, and out of courtesy, he asked me what floor am I going to so he could press the button for me. And of course, I said, with all the swag I could muster, I stay on the top floor. And so he presses the button. I get to the top floor. I strut off the elevator. I go down this beautiful hall, find my suite, reach in my coat pocket, pull out my key. And I insert my key in the door. And then I turn the knob of the door. And lo and behold, yeah, the door won't open. I said, okay, maybe I turned the key the wrong way. And so I grabbed the key, turned it around. This time when I flipped the key around and slid it into the door, and then turned the knob. All right, yeah, the door still wouldn't open. All right, so listen, so I marched back to the elevator. I started out walking briskly, then I was strutting, now I'm marching, right? And so I march back to the elevator, go down to the first floor, barge up to the front desk. The young lady there sees the dismay on my face. She said, sir, how can I help you? What seems to be the matter? I said, listen, I have a room on the top floor. I have a suite there, but my key will not work. She said, we're so sorry. Sorry for your inconvenience. We'll take care of that immediately. Just hand me your key, please. Hand her my key. She slides my key into a machine below a screen, and she looks up at the screen and starts smiling. She says, I'm sorry to be smiling, sir, but I just realized why you weren't able to gain access to your suite on the top level today. I said, well, what happened? She said, the reason you weren't able to gain access to your suite on the top level today is because you're still trying to use the key from yesterday from the lower level. I said, wow, all right. Well, listen, whether you realize it or not, that's precisely the predicament of so many people, and listen, really, so many churches today. Listen, I have been promised an upgrade to a higher level. But although I had received the promise, get this, I could not enter and possess the blessing because I was trying to open a new day's door, still holding on to yesterday's keys. Preach A.T. Curry, I'll do it the best I can, but I'm here to tell you, you can't access new levels of blessings, still holding on to lower level operations. Whether you know it or not, I'm here to tell you, God is doing a new thing. But the church cannot possess his promise for today and tomorrow because we're trying to open the door on the next level with keys from the lower level and then wondering why we can't gain access. But the fact of the matter is, you and I cannot win today's battle using yesterday's weapons. God is calling each of us to a higher level. Higher level of commitment, a higher level of ministry, a higher level of giving, a higher level of living. But listen, you can't use yesterday's tools to tackle today and tomorrow's task. I'm here to tell you the God whom we serve is a progressive God. He's a forward-stepping God, and He created us to progress and be progressive. And so many are operating at such a low percentage of our potential. And so listen, even in this season of pandemic, I declare it's a good time to start making some great progress. That's a great word, not only for the church of God, but for the people of God. Let's not be satisfied with doing things in an average and mundane manner. Let's get out of the mediocrity mindset. But we've got to remember that things cannot ever get better as long as they continue to be done in the same way. Jesus said, you don't put a new patch even on old clothes. It makes it look worse. He said, you don't even put new wine into old wine skins. Jesus is saying, He didn't come to patch up some old stuff in your life. He came to give us brand new life. Matter of fact, all of us got some stuff in our past. We really don't want Him to patch up anyhow. We want Him to make it over. But if He's going to make you over, you've got to be open and willing to expand. That's why old wineskins cannot hold new wine, because when new wine ferments, when it aerates, it expands. And if the old wineskins have lost their elasticity, when the new wine expands, the old wineskins come apart at the seams and the wine is wasted. No wonder Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And so get this, the gospel that we preach, the gospel we teach, the gospel we share, the gospel we believe is a not ever changing gospel, but we've got to be open to new ideals and to new changes and ways to convey the gospel to reach not just the millennials, but the Generation X's and Z's. It was Charles Wesley who wrote that great hymn where he said, we're called to serve, he said, not the past, but we're called to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may all my powers engage to do my master's will. And so, today, for these next few minutes, listen, if we're going to do better, if we're going to do things in a greater way, if we're going to take it to another level, listen, if you will, about this journey with the children of Israel. They're on their way to a higher level. They've heard the report, however, when you look at the context of the text, they've heard the report of their great leader, this great man, Moses, have died. Moses is dead. Moses, their leader, is dead. It's a mournful situation. Their leader brought them out of Egypt. Moses led them across the Red Sea. Moses has died, and God calls this great young man, Joshua, to be the next general of the army. Moses dies. And so God says to Joshua, I want you now to lead the people. It's interesting when you read it, because God doesn't even allow the children of Israel to have a funeral for Moses. They don't even allow them to have a great big memorial service. Doesn't even allow them to attend the burial of Moses. God simply gives them, listen, 30 days to mourn. You can read it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 38, verse 4. Listen, 30 days to mourn, and then tells them, now you've got to move on. You might wonder, why in the world would the Lord only give the children of Israel 30 days to mourn for such a great leader as Moses, not even allow them to attend the funeral of Moses? Perhaps, I suggest to you today, perhaps it was because so many are so easily prone to give in to what you call idolatry. So many have the tendency to deify the dead. You've never been to the funeral of a terrible person. Everything said at a funeral, for the most part, is well spoken of regarding the person. So many people have the tendency to deify the dead. Jesus says, the Lord says, no, I don't want you to do all of that for Moses. 30 days to mourn, and then I want you to keep it moving on. And so rather than continue to be in mourning, God wanted them rather to examine their ways and dissect their being so they could move on and focus on their future. You missed your shout. Listen, the Lord says you've got 30 days to mourn because, listen, he does not want them to lose their mind over Moses because they were going to need their mind with Joshua. Did you catch that? I said you can't lose your mind over what and whom you lost yesterday because you're going to need your mind for what and whom the Lord has in store for you on tomorrow. And so the Lord says, yes, I know you lost Moses, but I'm giving you a Joshua. And Joshua is going to lead the people across the Jordan. It made me wonder, well, how did they get across the Jordan? How did they make it across the Jordan? I mean, they had no ships. They had no bridge. How did they possibly cross the Jordan? Well, they didn't have ships, they didn't have bridges, but they did have a Joshua set by God. And notice, if you will, that just as God had parted the Red Sea for them with Moses, he now parts the Jordan for them with Joshua. And so I ask you today, have you any rivers too that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains you cannot seem to tunnel through? Well, I'll stop by to tell you, my God specializes. What does he specialize in, sir? He specializes in things that seem impossible. And how many of you know he can do? I said he can do it. He can do what no other power. Old deacons used to say Holy Ghost power can do. And so look at the children of Israel. They come across the Jordan in a great way, and they find themselves at Joshua chapter 5, when you read it, at a place called Gilgal. Bible says circumcision was reinstituted there. And by circumcision being reinstituted there, at that time, the text is really revealing to us that, get this, sometimes you have to allow yourself to become vulnerable in order for you to gain some victory. Woo! Preach A.T. Curry. Did you catch that? I said sometimes you have to allow yourself to become vulnerable in order for you to gain some victory. Listen, you're trying to climb the ladder of success. You're really trying to take it to another level. But listen, sometimes in order to receive the biggest gains, you have to accept greater liabilities. Jesus says, listen, I'm sending you out not as wolves among sheep. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. But by allowing yourself to become vulnerable, you are simply allowing God to step in and to manifest his power to the extent in your situation that when you finally get to the next level, you'll have to give him all the glory. And so it's that Gilgal. Not only is circumcision reinstituted, but the Lord shows them. He's going to make them vulnerable before he makes them victorious. And so it's that Gilgal where the Bible informs us manna ceases to fall from heaven. It's that Gilgal where they have to begin eating off the land. It's that Gilgal where they are just about to get to the place where the Lord really wants them to be. So they find themselves there perched and poised to take the land of promise, but still at Gilgal, when they look at themselves there, some of them are looking at themselves, and I'm sure they're saying, we're so much better where we are now here than where we were back then there. Why don't we just settle down here? And listen, that's the great challenge for us, Pastor Ford, I declare, because so often we are confronted with complacency within our congregations. So often confronted with complacency. You've done enough. You've come this far. You've already done a great work. Why don't we just shut it down right here? Just go along smoothly through this pandemic. We've got what I call so many Brillo cream members. I guess that's a little too old school for some of you. Brillo cream. You see a commercial about Brillo cream. They can say just a little dab will do you. Every now and then we run into some folks like that. Just a little church will do them. But the Lord wanted the people to know that although they were no longer in the wilderness, they still were not in the place of promise. And that's a word right there for somebody else today who's already come a long way. You've already accomplished some significant things, but you've got to remember that although you're not what you used to be, you're still not all that you can be. You may be on your way, but you're not there yet. And before you get too comfortable with where you are, listen, you need to know God did not call you out of that bondage you were in just for you to settle down in Gilgal. He called you to take over your Jericho. I wish you would help me preach, turn to somebody, tell them, I'm taking my Jericho this morning. And also, you've got to listen, you've come a long way. God's got something better, even better in store for you. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the wonderful, the good things the Lord has in store for them that love him. So the Lord tells Joshua, he says, listen, lead the people on over. I want you to take your Jericho. I'm going to give you some keys, the keys to the next level. So as the children of Israel make their way on this journey to Jericho, they're marching forward, but then something happens. Something happens. What happens? They encounter a wall. I discovered, listen, when we're going to get to the next level, we're going to encounter some walls. Some walls of complacency from within, but then every now and then we'll encounter some walls of opposition from without. And listen, this wall they encounter, it's encircling the city of Jericho. And I'm not talking about some sheetrock wall, some wall built up with 2x4, 6 feet apart. No. I'm talking about a serious wall. This was a double stone wall. I'm talking about a 12-foot wall and a 6-foot deep wall. That's the thickness of the wall, 6 feet, and the wall goes all the way around the city of Jericho. Could you imagine that? A 12-foot double stone wall, 6 feet thick. It's got to be 6 feet so that a chariot could ride on top of the wall all the way around the city. It's a serious wall. And so check this out. They're at a place where Jericho is finally in view. What they've been wanting, what they've been striving for, what they've been marching for, it's finally in view. They can behold it, but they can't become it. They can see it, but they can't seize it. They've received the promise, but they can't possess the promotion because there's a problem. Their promise looks like it's in a prison. And listen, not only is it a double wall, not only is it a 12-foot stone wall, not only is it a 6-foot thick wall, and not only does the wall go all the way around the city, but then there are watchmen and guards securing the wall. And so I ask you today, in the midst of this pandemic, what do you do when circumstances are in front of you that seem to be preventing you from the progress you know you've been called to possess? What do you do when the enemy looks like he's holding your destiny hostage? Here they are able to see the goal, but they can't score the basket. Since you all from Philadelphia, I know you know about that. They're like the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know how you lost to Toronto, but let me get back to the sermon. They can see the goal, but they can't score the basket. I mean, I could have stuck Kawhi Leonard on that shot. I don't know what happened to you all, but let me get back to the text. Let me get back to the text. All right, appreciate you, Curry. It's the wall. they see the goal, but they can't score the basket. Whenever you get ready to move forward, you're going to encounter some walls. You're going to encounter some walls of opposition, some walls of resistance. But you've got to remember, the Lord knew it was going to be a wall there when he first brought you out of Egypt. Preach, Curry. And so your walls of obstacles, your walls of opposition, they never catch God by surprise. And that's why it's so safe to trust him today, even if you have to incur some liabilities, because all you need him to do is just be with you like he was with Moses and just like he was with Joshua, because the record is Moses never had a problem God couldn't solve, and Joshua never had an enemy God couldn't conquer. And guess what? You can never have a wall God cannot bring down. And so the wall was there. But I like how the Lord speaks to Joshua. The Lord speaks to Joshua in what I call a perfect prophetic tense. Listen, God speaks to Joshua about the future like it's already happened in the past. Preach, A.T. Curry. And so God does not say, listen, you may get it. He doesn't say you might win. No, no, he says, it's in the text, he says, I've already given you. He talks about it in the future like it's already taken place in the past. He says, I've already given you not only the city, but even the people trying to rain on your parade, pout on your promise, and prevent your promotion. And I've already given it to you. And so you don't even ever have to doubt God, no matter what your circumstances might be, no matter what walls of opposition you might be in or might be in front of you, because no matter how big your walls, God's promises always come with his provision. Did you catch that? I said God's promises, when you trust him, his promises always come with provisions. The wall is there, but God gives provision. But then understand this, brothers and sisters, the wall was still necessary. What did you say, preacher? I said that wall was necessary. A whole lot of us need some more walls. I hear a lot of folks talking about, child, I'm just waiting on my breakthrough. If I just get my next breakthrough. But listen, if God didn't allow you some walls, you wouldn't ever have any breakthroughs. You just have some walk-ins. And I found out too many walk-ins make up for some weak Christians. And so everybody needs a wall every now and then to break through. And when the Lord does send your breakthrough after you have some walls, when anybody asks you now, how did you make it to where you are? You're going to have to tell them, if it had not been for the Lord. Preach, Curry. I said, if it had not been for the Lord, never would have I made it. But now, since you have some walls, you got some testimonies. God is able to give you a breakthrough. And so the Lord gives Joshua the design. Joshua gives the people the directions. He says, listen, I want you to walk around the city. Walk around it one time for 6 days. Now the folks are there, but there's no biblical record that Joshua ever revealed to them the entire plan at one time. And so notice that yet for the people to gain the victory, they got to just trust the process. We should have time to talk about that. They got to trust the process from the preacher. And so day one, Joshua tells them, you all show up for worship here. They get there. He says, all right, now we're just going to walk around this wall one time. Nothing else. Come back tomorrow. Day two, they show up. Tells them, walk around the wall of the city one time, nothing else. Now, I'm sure by day three, somebody is saying in that crowd, I think Pastor has lost his mind. And what we're going to do, just walk around the wall. We could have stayed in the wilderness. But remember, if you want the Lord's results, you got to follow the Lord's plan. Preach, Curry. And so you've got to struggle with some walls, but know God has a strategy for your victory, and then know you may encounter a season of waiting in the process. The Bible says they just kept showing up for worship
and just kept marching around. So they may have waited in silence, but they walked in service. And when the Lord tells you to wait, sometimes you just got to learn how to keep on walking while you're waiting. You got to learn how to make another lap. Don't be so quick to throw in the towel just because it's a season of waiting. Tired of your job? Tired of troubled children? Tired of too many bills? Tired this, that, and the other? Don't stop making another lap. Don't feel better. Don't stop going to the doctor. Just learn how to keep making another lap. Looks like that business is not going to get off the ground. Don't give up on it yet. Just learn how to make another lap. You see, the devil wants you to stop making laps because even the devil knows sooner or later, if you keep making another lap, you're going to get to a lap on day seven. and when you get to your lap on day seven, there's a shout that's coming on day seven. And that's why, that's what the Lord tells Joshua to have the people to do. He says, have the men go around that city one time for 6 days. But then on that seventh day, Lord, help me today, have seven priests with seven trumpets. Have them lead the march around the city walls seven times. And then have them blow the trumpets. And then have the people to shout. He said, put a shout on it. Put a great shout on it. And then watch the walls come tumbling down. And so listen, whenever you feel like quitting, whenever you feel like giving up, don't quit, don't give up. Just learn to make another lap. God will make a way out of no way eventually. Won't he do it? And so listen, listen, you're not catching that. You're not catching that. All right, you missed it, you missed it, you missed it. Listen, I was invited to preach in my home state, Utah. Invited to preach there, and I caught a flight out of Atlanta. But listen, there was a layover in Houston, Texas. Invited to preach, Calvary Baptist Church, downtown Salt Lake City, Utah. But I've got to fly through Houston, Texas. The pilot said there's a layover in Houston. We land in Houston, and the pilot comes over the speaker system, and he says, listen, if this is your final destination here in Houston, Texas, thank you for flying with us. But you can get your carry-on bags and now depart the plane. You can exit the plane. He says, however, if you're scheduled to go on to Salt Lake City, Utah, just keep your seat. And it's just a temporary layover. And while you're sitting, he says, we're going to spruce up and we're going to refuel. So that you have what we need to make it on to Salt Lake City, Utah. You missed it. Okay, let me go back. Listen, listen, I'm in Atlanta. I'm trying to get to Salt Lake City, Utah, trying to preach the Calvary Baptist Church. Dr. Franz Davis at the time, just recently retired, was the pastor, my hometown, going there to preach. But the pilot says, we've got to stop in Houston, Texas, for a layover. We get to Houston, Texas. The pilot says, if this is your final destination, you can exit the plane now, get your bags and get off the plane. Those of you going to Salt Lake City, just sit tight. We're going to refuel the plane so you can get on to Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay, they say the third time's a charm. I'm scheduled to preach in Salt Lake City, Utah, Calvary Baptist Church. Dr. Franz Davis invites me. I get on the plane. The pilot says, we've got to stop in Houston, Texas. We stop in Houston, Texas for a layover. The pilot says, if this is your destination, get your bags, get off the plane. If you're going to Salt Lake City, Utah, just sit tight. We're going to refuel the plane and then make it on to Salt Lake City, Utah. You're still not getting it. What I'm trying to tell you is everybody that started out at your origination was not intended for your destination. And so what I found out God will do, God will give you a layover so you can get rid of some excess baggage while you're waiting. And then how many of you know God will step in and bring in the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost will refuel you so you have what you need so you can make it to Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm done, but my soul is happy today. And so get this, they crossed the river. They made it past Gilgal. They had a season of waiting. They showed up for worship after watching the wall for 6 days. But then on that seventh day, they added some praise to the worship. The Bible says they gave a great shout and the walls came tumbling down. I'm done, but I just want to remind somebody, if you got any walls you need to come down, I dare you to put some more praise in your worship. Because I discovered whenever praises go up, hey, walls will come down. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? If you put some praise in your worship, watch the walls come tumbling down. You do know it's possible to show up for worship and yet not have any praise. Did you catch that? I said it's possible to show up for worship and still not have any praise. It's possible, but it's not advisable. I wish you touch somebody. Just thought some stuff goes better together. I said some stuff goes better together. You do know worship without praise is like peanut butter without jelly. It's possible, but it's not advisable. It's like Kool-Aid without sugar. It's like turkey without dressing. It's like dressing without candy canes. It's like ham hocks without beans. It's like red beans without rice. It's like Fred without Barney. It's like Batman without Robin. It's like the Lone Ranger without Tonto. It's like Starsky without Hutch. It's like Hutch without Huckabee. It's like Lucy without Ricky. It's like Laverne without Shirley. It's like Cookie without Russia. It's like Puff with no daddy. It's like Gladys without the Pips. It's like Hall without Oats. It's like Captain without Tennille. It's like Salt without Pepper. It's like Kirk Franklin without the family. It's like JC without Beyonce. It's like Peaches without Herb. It's like Flavor Flav without Chuck D. It's like Eric B without Rakim. It's like Casey without JoJo. It's like Phoebe without Cece. It's like Kid without Play. It's like Randy, Tito, Marvin, and Jermaine without Michael Jackson. It's like Barack without Michelle. You ain't getting it. It's like Abraham without Sarah. It's like Isaac without Rebecca. It's like Aaron without Moses. It's like Ruth without Naomi. It's like Silas without Paul. It's like Andrew without Peter. And it's like you without the Holy Ghost. I said, I dare you to put some praise on it. Because when praise is go up, is there anybody out there who knows praise is go up? Walls will come tumbling down. Won't God make a way for you? Won't he sweep your situation? Won't he bring your walls down? Is there anybody out there feel like praising him with me? God is all right. And he's worthy. Hey, he's worthy. Ain't he worthy? He's worthy. He's worthy. To be praised. I'm trying to quit, but I've been a little better. I haven't had no music around here in a long time. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. To be praised. Thank God for his word today. Thank you, Tabernacle, for allowing me to share with you. Pastor, keep on putting the praise in your worship and watch the walls come tumbling down. Thank you to our Cornerstone family and friends that are tuning in with us. How we thank God for you. May the Lord bless you real good. I'm going to put it back in Pastor Ford's hands at this time, but I sure enough thank you to those of you that are tuning in. If you want to watch this as part of their full service, you can do that at 10 a.m. This morning, the Tabernacle, Taylor Tabernacle Church. You can catch them on Facebook as well as YouTube. Check us out for the entire service. Again, to our Cornerstone family, how we love you, how we thank God for you. Don't forget your tithes and offerings. Pull us up on givelify.com. Givelify.com. Cornerstone Baptist Church, Fayetteville, Georgia. A.T. Curry, pastor, you can give by way of U.S. mail. Cornerstone Church, P.O. Box 2734, Peachtree City, Georgia, 30269. You can even bring it by the church. I'm here every morning. Be glad to see you. May the Lord bless you until we meet again. Pastor, thank you again for the opportunity. May the Lord bless you real, real good. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Curry, for coming and blessing us with that message on this morning. We're so glad that we were able to work this out and to have you before our congregation on our live channel today. And listen, if you're on the listening audience this morning and something that you've heard has moved on your heart and you would like to speak to someone more about your relationship with Jesus Christ and to get an understanding of what that means and how God's holy word applies to your life, give us a call now. Call us at 215-748-4578. Call us on that number. We will be looking for your call. Our deacons and prayer team are waiting now, and if we get that voicemail, we will return your call right away. If you come to us through the prayer request section of the website, we will respond to you quickly. So again, that phone number, which is also on your screen now, is 215-748-4578. We look forward to hearing from you on today. Amen. And as we move into the next part of our worship this morning, as we move into the ministry of giving, we first of all want to thank all of you for your financial support of this ministry. Given this time, we just thank you for all who have been faithful in your tithes and offering. As you know, we've had our three ways that you can give. One, by going to the website at taylortabernacle.com/giving. And following the instructions that you'll find there. You can also, we have many that like to give by text message, and you can do that by sending the code TAYLOR61, and you text that to the phone number 73256. Amen, and they will text you back with the instruction on how to give for there. And you know, finally, for those who have been mailing in to the P.O. Box, please mail your check or money order made out to Taylor Tabernacle. Send that to P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, zip code 19139. Again, thank you for your support of this ministry. Amen. And so continue to join us. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on our YouTube and Facebook channels. We are looking for you. Be sure to join us again. We are planning to try to get together again, amen, to be back at our church. And so right now the planning committee is seeing if that will be possible for the month of September. And so if you continue to pray towards that effort, amen, that the Lord would make a way for us to gather again at our church at 61st and Osage in Philadelphia, PA. If you would do that, the planning has started, and we're looking forward to that time, amen. We continue every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Our prayer and Bible study has continued via our conference line, sometimes via our Zoom line. If you stay up to date either through the calendar on our website or through our social media channels, you'll be sure to hear what's up for the Friday night. And on this Friday, we're going to be blessed with a virtual joy night. which will be hosted by the Young Life Experience, the YLE. That will be via a Zoom meeting. That's going to be at 7:30 p.m., so we're excited for what they will present. And that's all a part of our Back to School weekend. Yes, we are going to make it back to school. So this Sunday, July 26th, for our 10 a.m. Sunday worship, we will celebrate our students. We'll have our Back to School service, and that will be led by our brother Jordan Ford and family. Amen. So once again, we just want to thank you for joining us this morning. We thank again Pastor Curry of the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Georgia. We thank him for being a blessing to us. And we just pray, church, that all will be well with you. Amen. And that you will continue to stay connected. Give somebody a call this week, somebody that's been on your mind. Amen. Give them a call. See how they're doing. Don't wait for them to call you, but pick up that phone and be a blessing to them today. Amen. So, Father, we thank you now for our time. We thank you for covering our families. We thank you for your continual protection over us. We thank you for your provision, O Lord. We pray that you would continue to go before us, to be a shield before us, O Lord, in this day and time, O Lord, and that one day, O Lord, we're planning for mid-September, God, if it be your will, we pray that you would bring us together at 61st and Osage at Taylor Tabernacle together once again. So we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So long, church. We will see you at the tabernacle next week. Amen.